Hi, I'm Pastor Sean Capozzi, the senior pastor of this amazing place. It's great to have you, but you've come, if you're new to the church today, you come during one of our light crew Sundays. But I don't know, I hope you feel the shift when you guys really got a hold of that you are the worship team. Whether the musicians are here or not, but you are the worship team. And when God, two or more gathered, his presence there, he says he inhabits the praise of our people. Yeah, the kids can go do what they know they're supposed to do. Just tap them on the head, let them go. They know where to go. Most of the time, more than I do. I'm like, I don't know where stuff is. I'll ask a kid, like, where do I find that? They know where it's at. They know where to go. But I just, God's presence has been here. And if you have not connected with him, give him your heart. Like, just give him all of you in worship and watch what he does. He'll come through. And if you break something, you bought it. I'm just letting you know. I'm just telling you right now. I miss the mission girls. Anybody miss the Uganda and the Tanzania girl? I just miss them. I miss them so much. You miss our musicians? I miss our musicians. Yeah, I do, man. When they get back, we're going to remind them that we are the worship team. When they get back, I want them to feel like, wow, something. There's things that changed in Uganda. There's things that changed here while they're gone. And you're getting a hold of the worship team. The worship team needs to see that you got a hold of being the worship team. And you watch how much more amazing worship becomes when we all are together in the same space. I'm just saying, it's going to be anyways. And I want to challenge the Roundtable men specifically. Please be here next week up front to worship. Because I want them to see what God has done while the girls are gone, what the boys have done. I'm proud of the guys. I'm proud of what the guys are doing and becoming, and I'm stoked about it. So say we are the worship team. All right, care group exhortation for Ed. You know, it's a place if you're looking to connect and you don't have any place and you need a little more social in your life, you want some good solid Bible teaching and you just need a place to hang. What night is it, Ed? Tuesday night. It's going to be here. Yeah, check the website, fourth Tuesday of every month, but it's going to be here, right? Yeah, okay. So I'd encourage you, if you don't have anything to do and you just want to kick it with people, what time is it right now? Are we playing Mr. Fox, or what is this? What time to care group? 6:30. In this big old series, I have a disclaimer. At times, I'm going to smush and summarize portions for time's sake. I want to go through the whole book, but sometimes there's things I won't make. When sometimes you're up here and I don't even notice what everybody's doing, other times I see this general glaze, like, wow, that was a long verse. I'm thinking about dinner. My butt hurts. I don't know what's going on, you know. But I want to try my best to smush stuff. But when I smush stuff or we don't put stuff in, you know where's a good source to find out what it says? Your Bible. Go read what gets left out. It's important stuff. It's just scrunching, you know. I have a favorite. Where's Cody Basilovic? This one. I'd like you to come pray the word in this morning. Just pray over the word in this. And he looked at me like, Pastor, I'm going to shank you. Come on. You should hear him preach at men's ministry, man. What a good word he brought. I'm telling you, he crushed it. He crushed it. So praying this in is easy. It's just praying this in. He's got this. He could do this in his sleep, honestly.
Father, I thank you for allowing us to be here in your house today. And I ask that you would use Pastor Sean as your vessel and that he would give your word the best that he's able to, and that everybody here would take that home with them and bring it to their families and into their lives throughout the week. In your name, amen.
Yeah, I didn't kind of warn him about it, but he's okay. Our series is the Acts of the Apostles, and I just want to jump right in. This is Season 1, Episode 2. If you're a season watcher of shows, this is it. Acts 2:1 in the New Living. Pop it up right there for me if you can. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. All the believers were meeting together in one place. Now, there's something about that. Unity, man, even when it's bad, unity does good, can accomplish things, you know? Ever read the story about the Tower of Babel? Everybody was unified, got stuff done, you know? Some of the worst teams I could never root for won Super Bowls, and it's just because they had unity. Like, man, Lord, you know, I don't want to pray disunity to everybody, but man, don't let the Cowboys win. I mean, never mind. I didn't say that out loud. Never. Oh, I know. Got a lot of Cowboy fans. My youth, my daughter-in-law, my youth pastor, you know, like edit the tape. But I'm just saying, there's something about being in unity. Jesus, why are they meeting together in one place? Why are they doing that? Why are they hanging out? Jesus died, he rose, and then they watched, remember last week? He went up. Why are they sitting together still? Because Jesus commanded them to. To what? Wait. Say wait. Wait together until the God's promise. How many know that that's not easy? Waiting. Everybody love waiting? Just love it. Like, I just love waiting. Like, this red light could even be longer. Yes. Go. Keep it on. Like, come on. You know, love waiting. Anybody else? Oh, Panda Express is backed up for 3 miles. That's okay. I'll pull right in there. It's good enough. You know, no one says that. Jesus commanded them to wait until the promise. Wait till opportunity comes. It's hard for me because I'm an opportunity maker. So it's one of the things how God made me too. So it's against who I am to not see. Like, when I see someone has something and the other person needs something, I try to make an opportunity for them to get together and stuff gets done. Like, that's so waiting for God to do it instead of for my own opportunity. Waiting's hard sometimes. Waiting for a divine connection. I've been in prayer 30 seconds. I mean, where's God? But waiting, because it's priority. I'll tell you what, when I know my wife's calling from Uganda and I know the time, she says 10:30, I start waiting at 10. She calling. Can't miss the call. Alejandro, you missed any calls? Kaylee called. You ain't missed one. Andrew, you missed a call? Not a single one, right? Because we're waiting, right? We're just waiting for that call. And I left men's ministry. Got to go. Why? Because she's calling. You know, wait for that divine connection. But here's the problem. How long? How long do I got to wait? Anybody ever ask that? You're waiting for a promise and you're like, how long do I have to wait? Right? Go ahead. Just charity now. Last thank you. Like, sometimes like, how long? I've been waiting for a while. How long were they supposed to wait into the room before the promise? Do you remember what the word was? Indefinitely. Until. Indefinitely. Wait until. Like, no, don't make it happen yourself. No, don't settle for less. No. Wait until. Wait until. And it was kind of interesting because I have a hard time waiting, and I started thinking about, because we live in the era of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But can you imagine the Jews waiting for that moment? The Israelites? 700 years. Whew. Man, that's a long red light. Say, I will wait. Will you wait until God's promise shows up? Will you? Will you wait for your divine connection? Because to settle for anything less than what he promises would, number one, be disobedience. If Jesus said to wait, then you should wait. I'm a disciple, so I follow him. He's my Lord, so he's my master. So if he says jump, I say, how high? Says lay down, I say, yes, sir. He says, go do something I don't want to do. I say, you're Lord, I'm not. Right? Anybody else? That's part of the relationship. He's a wonderful father, loving counselor. But he's also Lord, right? If we don't wait when he says, it's disobedience for sure. But you know what else happens when we don't wait? You're about to get a heartbreak. Anybody not wait for something that you know you should have waited for and your heart got broken and other people's lives got hurt and messed up? Yeah, sometimes, right? Say, I will always wait for God. So I'm going to ask Alejandro a question. He's like, oh, no. I already feel him sweating on the back of his neck. What did they do, Hondo, while they waited? Do you remember what they did while they waited? Yeah, they're in the room. What did they do as they waited? Do you remember? They prayed. I knew you knew that when they prayed. I got a slide just to help us remember. I just want to see if Hondo was paying attention last week. You know, just... They prayed. When you're waiting, keep it up for a little bit. When you're waiting, one of the things we should be doing, said, remember, they gathered last week together in the upper room, it says, and then they prayed. I think I get distracted after like a few seconds sometimes. I get, you know, the dog barks. Oh, I forgot this. I better write this down. I feel like God is trying to get our lives back to a more prayer-focused life. I mean, we might be praying, but I don't know if we're praying. So during your waiting, if you're waiting, amp your prayer time up. You got the time on your hands. Might as well fill it with prayer, right? That's the next thing they did. They cleaned up their emotional house and put stuff in order. What do you mean? Remember, Peter said this. He said, hey, there's a problem. The betrayer, we're down a guy. And the betrayer, I hate that guy. Blood bursts everywhere, that guy. Got his, that guy. I got to forgive that guy, but we got to replace that guy. So what they do? They got their emotional house in order. They set order. So if you're in a place you're waiting on God, pray. But how many of you know when your emotional house is out of order, how that affects every other part of your life? Come on, anybody ever been pregnant before? Ever watch a sweet pregnant lady go from like, oh, she will cut you. You better not. Yeah, she wants to eat that, give it to her. Tell her she's beautiful and walk away. You know, hormones will get you. You know, they'll get you. Your emotional house sometimes, how's it hard? It's hard to be a good Christian believer when you're exhausted. You get into work and your coffee wasn't there and someone cut you off on the highway. Before you know it, your emotional level's in a -4. And you're not your best Jesus in that moment. Anybody? Don't raise up there. Thank you. She's like, I'll do that right now. That's me, you know. But when you're waiting on God, what you can do is pray and see what in your life is out of order. Because I bet there's something in your life that you could do to get into order. Right? I have a garage full of exercise equipment. I had time on my hands. I need to get my life in order in my physical well, right? I can't be eating all the carbs and all the sugars. I love them. I'm still hitting them, but that's something I can do while I wait. I can pare it down. I'm trying. We all can't be marathon runners like Bree. We just can't. But I'm working on it, you know? Why? Because there's things that are out of order. But can you think about things that are out of order in your life? All of us that had a promise, you're like, I'm waiting for a promise still. It's not like to smack ourselves. It's to really be awake, to look at ourselves authentically in the mirror and go, why I'm waiting on God instead of being mad that it's not here. Where is my emotional house and my order gone? Why is God not moving? I don't know, but check your prayer life and check your emotional house and check the order of your life, because when things are out of order, everything's a mess, right? I love walking in. Sometimes I'll stop like at someone's house that has a baby, you know, and their toys are everywhere. And dads are like just, you know, chilling there at the gate. They didn't even notice, you know, the 4,000 Lego pieces and dumped over soup and, you know, 4 blankets and a chewed on dog toy that wasn't chewed on by the dog, but a baby, you know, and it's there. But moms walk in and go, ah, and they just freak. They freeze for a second. Ah, things are, my coasters are down there. Things are out of order. Man, when things are out of order in your life, it is hard to connect with God. So what's one thing we can do while we wait? Pray. What's another thing? Get your emotional house in order. Put stuff in order in your life. You say amen to that? So how's your consistent prayer life been, honestly? And it'd be like, it's rocking. Honestly, I can't do enough. Like, I wish there was another hour in the day, to be honest with you. Anybody there? No, okay. But it's an encouragement to go, where has my prayer life been, honestly? Ask yourself, how's your emotional house? You know how it affects everything. It hinders your whole life. Any place your life's out of order just needs to get back in order. All these things we should do while we wait. For what is the thing he promised you? Fill in your blank. While I wait for that money, while I wait for his divine connection spouse, while I wait for the house he promised, while I wait for the child he promised, while I wait for whatever, fill in your blank, pray and make sure your house is in order. Why? Because it's things you can do till you wait for your promise, right? Acts 2:2. See, that was only the first verse. Pastor Justin, like, you're never going to make your time. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Can you picture that? I want you, for your homework tonight, I want you to go home to your Google and your Alexa and your radio, and I want you to put it on volume 10. Yeah, highest it can go. If it goes to 11, go to 11. But this goes to 11. Search for sounds of mighty windstorms and blast it. It's your homework. If you have multiple devices, put them all around your house in different rooms, and at the same time, put them on 11 and play Mighty Windstorm. Your neighbors are going to love it. Like, that's a party over there, you know? Picture that, though. Put yourself in that moment. What is that like? I might go home and do it tonight. The dog's probably going to lose his mind, but it's okay. Can't do it when Dr. Heidi's home, so I'll do it now. So this loud sounding wind, Acts 2, 3 through 4. Then what looked like, I say what looked like is because a lot of times we're taught that it was tongues of fire. Maybe it looked like it. When you see something you never saw before, it's hard to describe. I don't know, look like a flying saucer. You know, you can see this guy out of the field. I don't know what it was. Kind of reminded me of my Aunt Myrtle. I don't know, you know. I don't know. It looked like Aunt Myrtle. You know, okay, great. It looked like, but it wasn't Aunt Myrtle. No, she died 1472. Okay, good. Old Aunt Myrtle. What looked like flames of or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present, say everyone. Everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Say authenticity. There's a lot to take in so far. What would be cool? Would it be cool with you if God wanted to do something like that right here? Or anywhere? Anywhere. I've seen Holy Spirit baptisms, and there's really more than saying baptize the Holy Spirit, it's receiving the Holy Spirit, because there's a difference. When you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit, receiving is the key, but in Holy Spirit baptisms, I've never seen anyone the same. And we should only want what God wants authentically. And as disciples, we should be open to however he wants to come. Remember, like we got to recognize his voice. However, it doesn't look the same, but however he wants to come, I recognize his voice, not how it is. Like, he thought he was a fisherman. They thought he was a gardener. When he came back, he didn't recognize his voice. We got to be open to however he comes. I think I have a slide. This is important facts I want you to take away today. Be authentic. And be open to however God desires to come to you. Read it with me. Be authentic and be open to however God desires to come to you. Acts 2:4. This is in the Amplified. And they're all filled, that is, diffused throughout their being with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, different languages, as the Holy Spirit was giving them the ability to speak out clearly and appropriately. Be authentic and be open to God's whatever. Here's a few points I want us to ponder. It says here that they spoke in different languages. Yes, could excellent, could be exactly that. Or maybe even just the people that were listening heard in different languages. Or maybe both. And that's really cool. Coming up, there's an option in some verses I want you to ponder, you know. But I don't want you to miss the point, and I don't want you to get caught in useless debates. I do not want you to miss the point of however it was actual tongues of fire, it looked like tongues of fire. If they actually were speaking different languages or they were heard different languages, that really isn't the point. Right? That's not the point. Here's the second point I want to give you. Tongues, the point the Spirit gave them. I've been in the body of Christ a long time, and I've seen some ridiculous things. I've seen people at the front altar make people practice speaking in tongues. I've seen it. Anybody else see that? Come on, follow me. They start babbling on and gibberish, and everything within me wants to resort to being an old Italian man. Stop that. Stop the zit. Stop it. Stop that. It's not tongue practice. If he gives it to you, you know. It's not repeating gibberish and thinking it will turn into something. That's just repeating gibberish. There's other places in the Bible that tongues come as a gift. There's variances. One type is found, and the scriptures aren't up there. Don't worry about them. I'm not stressing you. But 1 Corinthians 14, Acts, Romans, do a Bible study on tongues. It's a heavenly prayer language that you can have directly with God. It's to build yourself up in the Spirit. it's very important to recall, if speak in tongues, if you have the gift, but you don't have love, you're nothing. It's important to remember that. Praying can be in groans and spiritual songs and sounds that are only understood in heaven. But a great point and a reminder in his word, all his gifts are to be used for his glory and are to be used appropriately. So if you have to share your gift of tongues, that's considered prophetically. And what it says about prophecy in a church, make sure you're in front of at least two or three solid elders and disciples. So no one does it say, like, I just got to shout it out in the congregation. Doesn't say that. I couldn't control myself, then it might not be the Holy Spirit. Why? Because everything's done decently in order. He's alive. But the word says don't shout out something prophetically unless they're in front of two or three witnesses. That's in 1 Corinthians 14. Scripture says you must have your tongue interpreted by not you, someone else. I'm in the church of people shouting out in tongues and it's quiet. And all of a sudden the person goes, thus saith the Lord. They interpret their own whatever God said. Maybe. Was it stated in front of two or three elders? If someone can't wait to just shout out, please and politely, shh. I've seen the gift done well, though, too. Anybody seen that gift done well? Man. And one of the things I see in common is that those people are submitted to their leadership, and they shared it calmly and appropriately and in a right, appropriate manner. Right? This isn't stuff we always talk about on Sunday, but I got no chains on me this morning. And I can slow roll through this as much as I want to. Pull over when I want to, you know. I've seen a lot of what seemed like emotionalism. When the fruit of the product didn't seem good, person shouting out in tongues that they're a wreck, man. I've seen emotionally get carried away. I've seen what seemed to be emotionalism. I've seen cases at times that it's out of order and unscriptural and unsound behavior. And some folks even display what they think is the Holy Spirit, but it borders on maybe needing deliverance themselves. Ever seen that? Pastor Justin, don't name things. I know you know what I'm talking about. But God gives these other gifts, and when we rely on him, it's awesome. But I want the west side to say this to the east side. You ready? Don't make me say it twice because I will. You ready? West side, your west side. Give me west side. West side, right? Okay, ready? Say to east side, be open to all things God. All right, Eastside, you ready? You ready? Say, be authentic. Yeah, be authentic and be open to all things God. Acts 2:5. And at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. A reason for this exact expression, right? When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. So it was so loud that your neighbor was like, they are pumping storm music on Google. Like, my neighbor would be next door. This dad would be like, oh, Pastor Sean, can you turn down the storm music? My cats are freaking out, you know. Loud noise. Everyone came running. Outside the building, they heard it. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken. To hear what they do. They heard their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee. They don't speak our language. They don't know our language. And yet we hear them, each of us hear them, speaking in our own native language. So if I start praying in tongues and some guy in Italian hears it, and a guy in Spanish hears it, and a guy in Czechoslovakian hears all the same thing, am I speaking their language or are they hearing my language? Yeah. I'm just saying it could be that way. You know, it could be that way. I like to just bring a little balance sometimes. Not trying to mess with your theology, but sometimes I'm trying to mess with your theology. How can this be, they exclaim. These people are all from Galilee, yet you hear them speak our own native tongues. And he goes into this list. We are Perthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Apache Junction, and beyond, you know. And we all hear these people speaking in our own language. We all hear it. Speaking about what? The wonderful things God has done. That's what all gifts should be speaking about, the wonderful thing God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Now, here's a crazy thing. If you're around a bunch of people who are just as ignorant as you, why do we ask them what they think? You know, You see something flying across the sky. What do you think that was? I'll make up something if you have any. I don't comment, man. Neither. I think the Space Force X. I don't know. It's Mothra. I don't know. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Now, this made me curious. What kind of drunks are they hanging out with? They're so drunk, they start speaking other languages. I've seen drunks can't even speak English. That's their only language they know. I don't know, dude. He needs to go to bed. I don't know what he said, but that's what he needs. Water and go to bed. I'll be praying for you, you know? So I don't know. Like they heard this loud storm Google music pumping and they start making names and accusing. Now they're just drunks. That's the best you got. You're seeing something crazy, miraculous right in front of your face, and you're trying to discredit it by calling them something they're not and assuming something about their lives. But I thought about that in our own lives sometimes. Now think about your life, the totality of it. The truth was boom right in front of our faces. And how many times we're blinded to it. Yeah. Truth right in front of me most of my life. And I was like, whatever. Happens, right? Sometimes you don't see the truth till you see the truth. That's important. God desires that we be one in spirit with him. West side, ready to say the east side? Say, don't miss the point. East side, say the west side. You don't miss the point. Yeah, a little gang fight here. The point, let's put up the point. Here's the point so none of us miss the point. Having his voice heard by people is most important in any language you speak. Having his voice heard by people is the most important thing. Not that a tongue happened or not that he's speaking. None of that's important, but if we're speaking with our lives and his voice isn't being heard, we're just babbling. So the most important thing we can do when we use any gift, we speak anything, his voice is the most important thing anyone can ever hear. Right? That's the point. Don't miss the point. But imagine, though, in that moment, you're actually there. Wouldn't it be off the chain? Storm music. I can picture my Google, you know, and fire, tongues and heads. And it could be, imagine, it'd be incredible. But I realized it's okay if you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that stuff, the earth, wind, and fire. Anyways, I won't do earth, wind, and fire. You're like, it's a group. Never mind. You guys are old. You guys are too young. The stuff you know that happened, if earth, wind, and fire didn't show up and a big crowd, maybe that's not your story. It was theirs. Maybe you just got hands placed on you in prayer one day at church, or like Jesus, he breathed on them. Your story might be like mine. My spiritual baptism didn't have fire-like tongues that I'm aware of. And there was no loud storm. But he changed me forever. But he still continues to change me. And to me, that's more miraculous than if someone hears me in Spanish or Czechoslovakian than anything could ever be. That's important to me. Ready? Say this with me. Say, be open. Be authentic. Be like Jesus. Be the church. Acts 2:14-24. It's a long stretch. Then Peter stepped forward as a leader would with the 11 other apostles. 11 other, because why, they got their house in order. Remember, they had one short, but they got their house in order, right? 11 other apostles, and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Peter's about to preach after he's been filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. Now, humans, I almost put a clip up, and I don't know if this is above and beyond, but this is how I remember about the world assuming. There was a show called The Odd Couple. There's a guy named Felix Unger in The Odd Couple. And he had a whiteboard, and he wrote out the word assume. Does anyone not know how it's spelled? But it's A-S-S-U-M-E. And sometimes when you assume, you make a A-S-S out of you and me. Helped me learn how to spell assume when I was a child. But you know what? Some of our assuming often is false judgment of facts. False judgment without facts. Ever assume something about somebody and it lasts for years and you get to meet with you and go, dang, that a lot of time passed. I wish I wouldn't assume that. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's too early for that. Now, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. I love this because Peter's in the Word. He's like, you want to justify what's happening? I'm not just going to make up a new doctrine. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God said was going to happen so you know this is legit, not us just making up a bunch of junk and playing on Google real loud. It's not that. I just want you guys to know. The prophet Joel said, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike. Say, yeah, right there. Whoop, right there. And they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. And the sun will become dark and the moon will turn to real blood red before the great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name, those who know him and recognize you are his, those that call on your name, that's my name. You know, when you're at Chick-fil-A and you give them your name, you recognize it right away. That's me. I'm him. That's my, don't take my sandwich. When you recognize, my grandkids know they're Kaposi's. They're going to have sauce after church. You know, that's how you start. Those who know me, recognize, call on my name. Sometimes I've seen Jesus' name used like a magic parlor trick. Ever see that? In Jesus' name, go. Someone doesn't even know him. They're just using that phrase like it's a magic abracadabra. In Jesus' name. Oh, you don't know me. I got in trouble once. Gosh, I'm telling this story slightly. Dr. Heidi, turn away. I was a thug, a hoodlum-ish guy, you know. And one day I wandered into this place. It was a hotel. And it had a bar. And we were underage. And I thought I'd be super smart because I could smooze my way into anything. And I brought my friends into this bar illegally. And the bartender instantly knew, and he looked at us. He goes, you guys are going to have to leave. I said, you know, I am. And I listed this gangster who owned the hotels. I said, I'm his grandson, lying through my teeth. I'm his grandson. I don't think he's going to like this. Actually, the old Italian guys are going to not be happy that you turned us away. And I started making a scene. The guy backed up a little bit. And in the booth, lo and behold, did I not realize that Angelo Fusco was sitting in the corner. And he knows I'm not his grandson. And I'm using his name. That's a bad place to be. I'm not so smart right there. It worked out good for me. I'm still here, no cement shoes. But he came over and said, give him a round and then you got to leave. Kid, you got chutzpah. But don't ever use my name again, or it won't go so well for you. Yes, sir, Mr. Fusco. Thank you. Why? Because I'd used a name that I didn't have to get access to something I didn't deserve. Jesus' name is not a magic parlor trick. It's not a magic parlor trick. But anyone who calls on his name, the name of the Lord will be saved. There are endless debates about the end times. We just ran through some end time things. There's so many debates about it that I'm not going to address hardly any of them because it's not the point. It's good with your friends and Bible study and discussion things, but I want to address what is the point. I'm going to summarize the point with a slide. In Jesus' name. Here's my slide point. It's technical difficulties. Please stand by. A few points to know are this. Ready? One, he's coming back. That's what he knows. I'm coming back. He said it to him. It's coming back. Angel said, coming back. I'm coming back. The second point is, nope, that's not it. That's okay. A few points to note are he's coming back, and sometimes it's hard. Anybody recognize that sometimes life is hard? Even after you found Jesus as your Lord and Savior, how many times you've had hard things happen in your life? So he's coming back, and life can be hard. Be a good witness till he returns. Third point. He's coming back. Life be hard. Do your best to be the best witness you can be. You know? And plus, if you know him, you don't have to be afraid of what the end times look like. There's no reason to fear that. He says, people of Israel, listen. Back to the scripture. I'm sorry. I messed everybody up. People of Israel, listen. Peter's on fire. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know, documented. Can't get away from it. Happened. But God knew what would happen. And his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles. He's talking now. He drew them in with a loud sound, right? And the tongues of fire and hearing their own languages. And then he gets real, real with them. And sometimes we talk about a men's ministry. You got to let someone get real with you. He says, with the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. You nailed him there. And you killed him. I just pull over to say it's very important to own your part of that. Because that's what sin did. They didn't kill him. It wasn't the Jews. It wasn't the Romans. It was my sin that put him on the cross. That's why he chose that. You got to own that. You can't be mad at other people because of what Jesus had to do. You got to look at yourself and go, wow, that's on me. I have to own that. And that's the hindrance between us and Jesus sometimes, is because we won't own that we need forgiveness and that we are sinners and there's things we need to be forgiven from and turn away from. That's the truth, right? It's the truth. He says, you nailed him to the cross. You killed him. And God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep its grip on him. Say, be open, be authentic, be forgiving. So the baptism in his Holy Spirit will increase our understanding of the word. That's one of the greatest things it does. If you've ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you have a Holy Spirit and a relationship with God, when you start reading your Bible, it changes. You see things you never saw before. Things come alive because he's talking about himself, right? 2:25 through 28. King David said this about him. I see the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praise. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. You know what? He's quoting the word. You know what else quoted the word? Jesus. His Spirit will give you understanding of the word. And I'm going to summarize what happens in, for time's sake, in Acts 2:29-35. It's a revelation from Peter of Old Testament teaching, and he's witnessing them that Jesus is the Son of God. You go read it. But Peter starts going, hey, you know why I got you here? I'm going to prove without a shadow of doubt. No, you saw the signs, you saw the wonders, you saw the miracles, you heard the sound, you heard the music. Great. I want to tell you, and he starts breaking down. He becomes a teacher. And he's busting down the Old Testament, and he's telling them what they should expect and what Jesus wanted to do. And it's amazing. So go read it. Acts 2:36-41. Pick up there. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Important verse. Peter's words pierced their hearts. Honestly, whenever God's word is read, we shouldn't be shamed, but our hearts should be pierced. If we get so numb to not letting things pierce us, why? Well, I've been saved a long time. I know all that. If you don't let God's words pierce your heart, you're in a dangerous place. His word is meant to pierce our hearts. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and he said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should I do? Do you remember? I remember crying out like that. When I first saw who Jesus was, I cried out that question too. Now what? I can't live how I used to live. I don't know how to even connect with you. I don't know anything. But what do I do? You know, like, Peter, I'm not a fisherman anymore. No, what is it? I'm a fisher of men. What is that? Can you give me the job description? Don't worry about it. Wait in this room till I show you. That's stress. For me, I would not like that. Jesus, I need more information. Brothers, what should I do? Now, Peter replied, each of you, every man, every person, every woman, each of you must repent of your sins. repent and turn to God. There's not just repentance, but there's turn to God. I've seen so many people say, I'm sorry, bless me, Father, for our sin. It's been 46 days since I did sin. I won't do it again. And then I'm forgiven. Whew. Now I'll go out and do it again. I'll come in next week and get forgiven. That's not how that works. It's not a magic word. It's not a white, fun magic eraser, which there is chocolate milk in my sink, stained. And I was stressing, because Dr. Heidi, and I had to confess. I go, I didn't drink the chocolate milk, but there's a stain in the thing. And she said, there's a magic eraser. I go, what's that? It's a little white sponge under the counter. Go get that. That'll take away anything. And I was like, I ain't taking this milk. It's been stained. Like, you're going to come home and go, duh, what'd you do? I didn't do it. I'm going to blame it on Ephraim, you know. And so I took the white sponge, and it did. It took it away. And I was like, the magic sponge. I love that. Yeah, if I spill more chocolate milk, I can use a magic sponge. But unfortunately, that's not how repentance works. Repent and turn to God. That means I'm going to make a decision to walk away from what I was doing, and I'm going to put parameters in place to help me never walk that way again. And Holy Spirit, remind me more than give me a gift of tongues, but remind me and give me the strength to overcome that so I can turn that app off my phone. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Repent and turn to God. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized. And be baptized in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of your sins. Right? Admit your sin and be baptized. Remember, I love telling people, I said, no, you're going to die to yourself. That's what baptism means. You're dying to yourself and you're living for Christ. The promise is to you, oh, wait a minute, this must be for just them. They can receive the Holy Spirit. They will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's just for them, for that time, for that moment. Ever hear that before in the church? Well, that was just for that time and that moment. The Holy Spirit, he's on vacation in Florida until Jesus returns. I think he lives in the South Pacific. If I were to pick a place, that's where I would be, you know. Or maybe up in North, up in Pine. You know, that would be great. He says, then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and to those far away. Wait a minute. He wants his church to have his presence living in him, not just the 12 apostles. It said the whole room was filled. There's 120 there. Remember that? His greatest desire is that he connect directly with people. And when he has your heart, he wants you to be baptized into his Spirit and filled with his Spirit. Why? Because he wants direct relationship with you. And out of that comes gifts. Just because you're a composee, you have the gift of a pool. You don't have to maintain it. You don't got to skim it. I'll do that. You don't got to put money into it. You just got to float and be in it. Why? Because it's a gift, because they're part of my family. Same with your Father in heaven. Have relationship with me, and I got so many gifts that are beyond your understanding. I'll give you gifts that aren't listed on the page. This promise is to you and your children, and those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord. Say, that's me. That's me. Then Peter continued preaching a long time, like I seem to be doing today, strongly urging all of his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. What's he mean? Now's the time that you have. Ever think, someday I'm going to do that? Someday I'm going to do exactly what God said. Someday I'm going to ask him to baptize me in his Spirit. Someday I'm going to repent and give him my heart. Someday, and it's there, and I'm going to try to tell you this, the older I get, the realize your some days aren't guaranteed. And now is what you have. Only now is what you have. Your generation, your time, you have to receive him to save yourself. No one can do it for you. I can't say the prayer for Alejandro. I can't give him a magic eraser. He's got to have a relationship. He's got to go through the steps, right? Save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, 3,000 in all. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What will we do? Like, we're light staff right now. Imagine if all the chairs are filled, like 75%, 80% of Sundays, right? That's a day. Vacation's good, I think. But imagine, like, another 600 people. We're like, we're in here, praise and worship, like we did this morning. We're meeting with God. All of a sudden, people from outside the building are like, what up in here? Oh, my goodness. I felt like I walked in the fire of God, and I've got to repent and be baptized. Pastor Justin's baptizing out there, and it's crazy. And 600 people get out of the church. If you're like me, that's uncomfortable. More people is not how I'm built. I'm a less people kind of guy. I'm a, like, small circle, hang out, not in the crowd of people, 1,000 people. I can't do 2 services, Lord. That's not, I couldn't, I won't. Oh, you're the Lord? So that would stress me out. I'd love it for one Sunday, them to come back next Sunday to be like 1,000 people crammed in here. Like, what happened? Just the Holy Spirit showed up, you know, nothing big. Ed was baptized and there was 5 troughs going. It was crazy. Andrew was, you should have saw, Andrew was playing the drums. It was awesome, you know? Acts 2:42, we're landing soon. All the believers devoted themselves. All the believers devoted themselves. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, church connection, Cody, and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, say church life. And to prayer. God is totally after our devotion. This year, this is the thing he wants most. He wants more devotion. Like, we've been devoted, but he's looking for devotion. He really is. Acts 2:43-47. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Meeting together as this church is very important. Check this out. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need, and they worshiped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. God's people should connect. I'm an isolationist. I spoke it before. Even I need to connect. Right? I think God's people needs to happen organically. Like, I don't think we should be a social-driven church. Like, I believe the job is to present a place where you can connect with God and to teach truth and let God connect with you. But to set up a social calendar is not what I believe the church is supposed to do. But the church is supposed to do it. You know, I didn't have to go, Jeff, you know, Sundays after church, I'd like to start a ministry because these people need to connect. Could you take a bunch of people and ask them to go out to dinner with you after church every Sunday? It becomes a program to meet people's social need. No, Jeff became the church and he saw a social need and then he filled it. That's how it's supposed to work, right? That's how it's supposed to work. How it does it. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. More than 3,000? Isn't our job, though, not to build new season, hear my heart, but isn't our job, your job, those who call themselves as disciples, isn't it your job to build the church with your life? So shouldn't someone be, at least one person be added to the church of Jesus Christ at least once a year because of your life? What, like, can we make that our goal this year? Everyone in here that knows Jesus, I don't care if they come here, but you reach out and you give them the best Jesus you have and see the church get added to. And you start activating those things in your life so you can be the fire of God for somebody else, just like you needed it. Say, I am the church. Here's my slide. This is where we can close up. And I did hit my time, under time. Sauce is coming. Yeah, I made homemade spaghetti sauce at home, Mark. You know, I made homemade sauce. I've been cooking for a day and a half. Woke up this morning and said, yeah. You know, anyways. Here's the slide. It is his church's mission to be devoted to him. It is his church's mission to be open to him. It is his church's mission to be filled with his spirit. It is his church mission to be the type of witnesses that add to his church. Say, I am that church. I am that church. Go ahead and stand with me. If you're seeking him for forgiveness and you just need to talk to somebody and get your heart right, someone will be over there praying. If I see you stand at the prayer wall, I will send someone or come myself. If you just need, I just need to find Jesus and I need to be forgiven and I need to know, someone pray with me. Maybe you feel the need for his spirit in your life and you never received that. I'd like to stretch my hands out towards the congregation with my eyes closed, not picking on anybody, but you know if that's you. Sometimes it says to lay hands on them. Jesus breathed on you. I believe it's not in the method. It's not in a cloth. It's not in a magic word. It's not a magic phrase. It is only the authentic Spirit of God. And I don't want to manipulate you to feel like you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want you to feel his authentic presence in your life. And if you want the authentic presence of God in your life, raise your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I pray you baptize your disciples in your presence again. Infuse us to the deepest core. We would not be full of gibberish or nonsense, but authentic empowerment to see signs and wonders happen for your glory's sake and to see your church increased and to see your name glorified. Baptize us fresh in your spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. The church said amen.